Hey, After Buzzers, before we move on to your next topic, we just want to say thanks to our sponsor, Anchor. If you haven't heard about Anchor, it's the easiest way to make a podcast. Let me explain. It's free. Plus, there are creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcast right from your phone or computer. Also, Anchor will distribute your podcast for you so it can be heard on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and many more. Plus, you can make money from your podcast with no minimum listenership, and it's everything you need to make a podcast in one place. Download the free Anchor app or go to Anchor FM to get started.
I'm Maria Menounos, and you're tuned in to AfterBuzz TV, the ESPN of TV talk. Now, let the buzz begin.
What's going on, Walking Dead fans? We are very excited to be here for the faux finale of the Season 10, Episode 15 of The Walking Dead. I've got an amazing panel. I'm Timothy Michael. Very excited to discuss it. April Wissenhant is with me. What's going on, April?
Hey, everybody. Love this faux finale. So happy to be with y'all still in quarantine, of course.
And Benny Adams, what's going on, man?
What's up, guys? So stoked to be able to talk about this episode. It was so good. Can't wait.
And Cedric Welton, how are you?
Yeah, very excited to talk about this episode and what it means for the pending finale later this year. Hopefully all you guys are staying safe out there, too.
Agreed, guys. We hope everybody's staying safe, staying home with this whole coronavirus thing going around. But despite of the quarantine, we're here to discuss this episode of The Walking Dead. So let's dive in, shall we, you guys? Now, at the end of the episode, everybody, don't forget, we have our dead weight of the episode, which is pretty much the person that we did the least in the episode. Plus, we've got our favorite kill of the episode, which we're also going to talk about. So if you're joining us in the chat, which April is taking care of, let us know your thoughts. So before we dive into the major storylines, you guys, I kind of want to get the smaller storylines out of the way. So we see all of our group pretty much regrouped in the tower, which we find out is a hospital. You can kind of gather that information from the scenes that they were in. I want to talk about Carol and Kelly, though, while they're out on their little mission walking horses. I really enjoyed this moment between Carol and Kelly because we haven't seen Carol like deal with anybody from the mining group that we had witnessed earlier in the season. And it was nice to kind of see her in this, I want to say, apologetic kind of attitude, which I personally wasn't expecting from her. And I liked the moment between them two, especially what Kelly said to her. What did you guys think?
I really liked it. I really liked how Kelly didn't hold a grudge. And if anything, the only thing she's really holding on to is hope that her sister is alive. And with the whole Carol thing, it didn't really surprise me that she was so apologetic, because in the previous episode with Negan, you know, you could tell she was upset because she kept on asking her, why did you take so long to get here? Look what happened because of this. So you could tell that she felt sorry for what she did. And it was just a special moment. And you could really see how mature Kelly was in that situation. So I thought that was really cool.
Yeah. It was a super cool aspect of Kelly to see, because we've seen kind of only the part of her character, basically her and Connie. And we've seen a little bit other than that, but, you know, not as much as I would like anyway. I actually thought it was a very different view of Carol than we've seen in a long time. I agree with you, Benny. She did, you know, when she was talking to Negan last week, seem apologetic, or seem, you know, to feel bad because, oh, it took so long. So, you know, all this other stuff happened. But tonight, or last night, I should say, she seemed actually, you know, like she felt genuinely bad. You know, she went on this mission so easily because she wanted to do something to make up for it. Carol is the first to nominate herself for, you know, like, let's go out and kill everybody mission, but not for the type of mission that they were going on. So I think it was a different side that we've seen of her in a long time, or that we haven't seen in a long time, but I definitely enjoyed it for sure.
Yeah, I think Carol's been holding back that emotion for a long time. So that breakdown was bound to come. So it was actually good to see. I think she's still a far a ways, if we're talking about redemption, for all her faults over these past few episodes. But the beautiful thing was seeing Kelly's strength and believing that Connie was still out there somewhere, and believing her sister would still fight through everything for how she's been for so long. So I'm interested to see how that still plays out in the finale.
I know a lot of viewers have been questioning, where is Connie? I thought that they would we would get some kind of closure or, you know, some kind of answers to where she is in this episode, or maybe even in the finale, which, like we said, isn't going to be aired until later on, whenever, who knows when.
Right.
I was hoping that we would get some kind of sign of life, some kind of, you know, signal that she was alive, because I don't like being in this, you know, this limbo area with her character, because I really do enjoy Connie's character. But it's nice to see, like you said, April, you know, Kelly's character having more interactions with other characters, because like you said, it usually is just Kelly and Connie. And now we get to see Kelly interacting with other people, especially with Carol. Now, I want to talk about Lydia and Judith also, two characters that normally don't have a lot of scenes together either. And this was also an endearing moment, because it was pretty much from two people who have lost parents, essentially. And I like that the show touched on that. And I also like the fact that the show touched on the fact that Lydia knows how good Judith has it in terms of, like, parent-wise. What did you guys think of this moment?
It's always sweet to see, you know, Judith basically come together with anybody, in my opinion. But she has this knack to be able to, you know, even though she's been very lucky, she still also seems to be, you know, have the type of empathy in her that doesn't come off as like, I mean, she's also like, you know, 7, 8, 10, however old she is. Like, but she has a type of empathy that comes off as genuine and real, not just like, you know, she may have it great, but she's also, she can also really feel for somebody else. Lydia, to me, and I am kind of basing this off of the scene later with Negan, but she is just overall, you know, so hurt, but not willing to say that she's hurt. So, you know, the moment where she says, like, not all of us can be as lucky to have moms like you, I think that's just where you see the real hurt in her. And but Judith seems to still understand that, as you know, she should, because she's, you know, more than half of all of our ages, but she's well wise beyond her years.
Yeah, time and time again, Judith has proven she is way more mature than her age, and I really like how they did put these two characters together, because they're so similar, but yet they're so different at the same time. Like you said, they both lost two parents, and they both have grieved. But what's different about them is they were raised completely differently. Judith, obviously, she has had, you know, a much happier upbringing. While on the other spectrum, we have someone who didn't have that good of an upbringing. So it's cool to see these two come together and just to see them bond and just to see their relationship go forward.
And yeah, I think it was a beautiful scene for a multitude of reasons, just because obviously the elephant in the room is they both have very polar opposites when it comes to moms. Judith's upbringing being a little bit different, and seeing Judith's maturation is going to be huge going forward, because like April said, she has the empathy there. She wants to help, wants to be a part of everything. But I think her and Lydia actually do have more in common. I mean, I'm going to talk about this a little later, but I think they both do suffer from bad parenting. I think that's just a fact. But it's just a different style of parenting. But I think seeing Judith just want to be involved more is was a good theme in this episode.
Yeah, that's a good point, Cedric. April, I want to kind of circle it back to what you said with Lydia and Negan, bringing on the next topic. This scene with Lydia and Negan, does anybody else feel, and it's been addressed a couple of times through the season, through Negan's character, that Negan has a soft spot for kids? I mean, it started with Carl, and now it's like onto Judith, and now it's onto Lydia. And he really takes these children characters under his wing, but he never had children of his own. Do we think that that's maybe the reason?
It has to be. I mean, Negan has said himself so many times, you know, you don't kill, I forgot exactly what he said last week, but he's like, and you don't kill children, because there is literally no reason to kill children. Now, whether at one time when he was, you know, master, savior, Negan, whatever, he thought, oh, these kids can eventually turn into something. Sure. But I also think he was like, kids are innocent. Why would you ever do this to someone? So he definitely has that soft spot. He's proven it to us time and time again with Carl, obviously with Judith. And then of course now with Lydia. And so it's the part of him that I think kind of started to crack a lot of us, because it's the side of him that you didn't typically see. So he was kind of willing all night long to take his licks from Lydia no matter what, because he knew he deserved them. And he knew that, you know, this is a kid that's hurting because she just lost her mom, no matter how evil she was.
And I also think he sees that these kids are the future in this world they live in. And I think he sees himself how he ended up, and maybe he doesn't want these kids to grow up into what he turned into, or to what Alpha turned into. And so I think that's why he gives them, why he has such a soft spot for them.
Yeah, dating back to Carl. So, I mean, I think if you really look deep, Negan has always had that humane side of his character, where he did gravitate towards the children and want to actually be more of a father figure out to those children. It might be a part of a bigger backstory that we learn about. Maybe he lost his wife that was with child or something like that before the world turns. So I think that might be a part of an even bigger backstory that we learn during Negan's maturation.
Yeah, I would love to kind of see that if because we've gotten a lot of stories of Negan and his wife and how she died of cancer and all this other stuff. But if she had been pregnant, that would just add a whole nother level onto his character. Mm-hmm. And it would really justify all of these other things that he does with these certain characters that we just mentioned. Now, I want to talk about Judith and Daryl, because I don't know about you guys, but I love seeing Judith and Uncle Daryl together. Yeah. It's very endearing. It's really, really nice to see that she has such a good amount of people that really care about her, that want to see her safe, want to see her succeed. And this is just one of those people that does that. So Judith kind of gets tired of being in the tower, the hospital, and goes off. Daryl finds her, thankfully. Obviously, I always get nervous when Judith's by herself. I don't know about you guys. And so Daryl pretty much takes her under his wing, and he wants to teach her, you know, tracking and pretty much skills, which I think he realizes that she needs to know in order to be in this world. And pretty much she's qualified. I mean, we all know how good Judith is. And they pretty much find a whisperer. They hurt her, and they pretty much get some information about what's happening with Beta and, you know, everything that happened with Alpha. And Judith and Daryl actually have a disagreement on, you know, how they treated this whisperer. Did you guys agree with Daryl, or did you agree with Judith in this situation?
I agreed with Daryl in this situation, because they've done this before, where, you know, they've let the bad guys live, and then it didn't end well for them, pretty much. And I can understand where Judith comes from, because Judith still has that innocence. But in that type of world, that innocence it gets you killed, more or less. So you have to be able to put on your big boy pants and do what's best for yourself and for the group. And it's going to be hard for Judith to understand that at such a young age. Even though she is very mature for her age, she's still a little kid, and she still has that kid innocence that everyone is good. You just
went where I wish that Daryl would have explained to her why it was bad to not kill that person. I definitely land, of course, like I said, landed on Daryl's side here. Because, you know, she even said herself, like, I want to walk, you know, please don't shoot me in the head. There was no remorse. There was no nothing. Why would he have just left her? You know, I get where Judith came from, like, oh, she could have a family, whatever. But it also, like Daryl said, you know, we have to get back. Our people are there. We would try to do something different if we could. We would have saved her if we could, but these are the reasons why we couldn't. Like, it was a teaching moment, but I guess they just didn't have time to do that right then. But I do wish that I was like, this is the perfect time to explain, because Judith has seen people killed, you know, her whole entire life, but this is the perfect, literally, like, okay, this is how you understand why we sometimes do and why we sometimes don't. Also, just to shout out Czar Nicholas in chat, he said, Uncle Daryl, and I hope my mom isn't watching, little ass kicker. Great combo. They're the best combo.
And yeah, I think this relationship is going to be interesting for a number of reasons. And both are going to kind of get fast-tracked on both sides of the spectrum, because I side with Daryl because he's doing the right thing for their people in the group. And I agree with Benny that children always have to maintain their innocence. And it's no fault of Daryl's own, because he kind of became a parent overnight. And just in that moment, found out that Michonne ain't coming back. So we talk about parenting in a zombie apocalypse and all those things. Like, Daryl's going to have to learn how to have that tender side while keeping the law of the land with everything. But I think Judith is going to get fast-tracked on that knowledge and kind of see kind of what Carl saw earlier in his days, that you have to be kind of cold-hearted if you want to last out here.
Cedric, I'm glad that you brought that up, because we see what they're doing with Michonne's character. Obviously, you know, we saw her last episode. Now we're seeing how all the other characters are dealing with the fact that she might not be coming back for quite a long time. And, you know, we see Daryl trying to reach her. It doesn't work. And then we see this moment between him and Judith, where Judith is pretty much worried about her mom. And she pretty much wants her mom to come back, but she knows that her mother's probably pretty much going to do what she wants to do. And she wants Daryl to make this promise to her that he'll never leave. And it was a very honest moment from Daryl on Daryl's part, because he pretty much tells her, you know, I can't tell you that because I don't know what the future is going to bring. And I honestly appreciate that honesty when it comes to children in general, because what's the point in lying to her at this point? I mean, she's pretty much seen the world end. You might as well keep being honest with her. Did you guys appreciate that, or would you have taken a different approach?
I definitely appreciate it, of course. Like, I mean, I think that he, no matter what, like, Daryl's put in such a tough position. The scene was confusing to me slightly, because not only, obviously, you know, Judith shouldn't tell him at first because she didn't want him to leave. But it was confusing to me, because I was like, Judith, you seem so on board, and now you're not. But obviously she's a kid and she just wants her mom, and that's what she wants. You know, she wants them to be all back together. But overall, it's kind of the same thing. Like, even with the, you know, the whisper that they killed, like, say it technically wasn't cold-hearted for him to leave her there, because, you know, she was going to die either way. So Daryl, I feel like, is kind of doing what he has to do, but it's not just doing what he has to do. He also really loves her. And I think that him saying, you know, I can't promise this to you, is I'm gonna go full on, like, you know, back of the room TV person. It's also a great way of The Walking Dead to be like, I can't promise you I'm gonna be here because I don't know how long I'll be here, but we'll see. But no, overall, I appreciated the moment because it was just sweet of them, and I think it establishes even a stronger bond between the two of them because of kind of everything that happened in this one scene.
Yeah, I agree with that. I look at it as kind of taking the Band-Aid off really quickly, you know, so it won't hurt her. Because I feel like, say he did lie to her, and he did say, oh, everything is going to be all right, everything is going to be okay. She gets older, and what he says doesn't come true, she's going to end up resenting him. So I feel like she's going to end up thanking him as she gets older if everything doesn't end up being okay with her mom. She'll know, you know what, Daryl was completely honest with me at the time. It wasn't what I needed to hear, but I know this is a person that I can always trust, and that he will always be truthful with me, no matter if I want to hear it or not.
Yeah, I agree with both of you guys. The fact that she kind of held back the information at first, and then just because she wanted to keep Daryl around, I think she sees that that's familiar to her starting to fall off. But that honesty is what's going to make her stronger. And I think at the end of the day, it's gonna, like you guys said, it'll build that better bond between them, however that comes. Maybe allows Daryl to trust in her more when she's out in the fields with him and whatnot like that. And you might even see a little bit of a duo here. Maybe
that something's going to happen to her. I mean, yes, she is very independent. Yes, she is very mature, but she still is a little girl. So I'm just always worried that something is going to happen to her. Now, let's talk about the newest thing. I think, like Benny had said in our 60-second recap, that she's a really nice breath of fresh air into The Walking Dead. She isn't like, you know, well, she's a little crazy, we'll give her that, but she's not like, I'll murder you crazy. She's not completely depressed. She's not like, you know, walking around the forest with walkers chopped up like Michonne. She's actually, and for being by herself for a year, I really enjoyed her character. And it's nice to also see, you know, another person of color introduced on The Walking Dead. What do you guys think?
I really loved her character. I really liked it being cartoony, is kind of disrespecting your character a little bit, but it was just very, very out there. It gave the show some comic relief, because as we know, Walking Dead is a very dark show. It gave the show a little bit of a lighter vibe, even though she's holding like this huge gun and everything. But yeah, I thought it was really cool throughout the episode, though. I'm not gonna lie, I'm just like, I have a feeling she's gonna die, because, you know, I couldn't picture, you know, this character interacting with all these other characters because she's so different. So I'm very interested in seeing how she's going to get more involved with all these other characters and how it's gonna change her, how her character is gonna their story.
I think she was like slightly still annoying, because I think by the end of the episode she seemed very likable and like a very good addition, a hot minute, but then I end up crying over their death, so you know, it is what it is. But I agree, I thought she was a breath of fresh air, and even though she did all she did, ultimately she led them to that garage, and it's going to be a good help, hopefully.
Yeah, I feel like Princess was instantly likable from the moment we saw her last week when she says, oh, hey, because I think what's so cool about this character is that we're so used to newcomers having some type of hidden agenda, and you can kind of read it, but she's just naturally a bubbly, ditzy character, and you can see that innocence there right off the back. I mean, when's the last time we've seen bicycles on this show? I thought that was pretty cool. I can't think of the last time we've seen people riding bikes. It's always horses, cars, motorcycles, not bicycles. So I thought that was a cute addition to everything. And I think her personality overall speaks volumes to what she might have been before everything turned in the world. Maybe she was really isolated in real life and is just really nervous and has anxiety about meeting people and making new friends, which is why, and that showed and played out through the whole episode, that she was so excited just to have people to roll with. And I think that's a character trait that's needed. And I can't wait to see such a high energy character like Princess interact with such like a low energy character like Daryl and hear that conversation.
Yeah, no, I completely agree. I'm excited to see her interactions with other characters as well. Also, I agree with Benny and April as well. I thought that she was going to die, especially when she was walking through the minefield and there was that shot when she was walking further away from the group. And she's like, oh, I got it, it's this way. I thought that she was going to blow up in that moment. So I was definitely holding my breath. I'm glad that they kept her around to get to these debut. Bicycles. Right? That would have been a really short debut. And I agree with Cedric. I mean, they haven't bicycles on the show before. And it's such a good mode of transportation. Like, why not? It's a lot faster, like Eugene points out. And it's, you know, at least a horse won't get bitten and die while you're riding on it. I mean, it's a good mode of transportation. You got to get somewhere.
You got to feed horses. You got to get them water. Like, you got to do all these things.
I think they did two things really well, like, throughout this episode with her character. One, which is probably most important, she is the type of character at the beginning of the show. Let's take the annoyances and the crazy personality and whatever out. She's the type of person that Rick would have been like, let's save her. She's just been on her own. She's been by herself. Seemingly at the moment right now, she seems genuine and just wants to be a part of a group. She was on her own. Everyone at one point in time was on their own. So it kind of, you know, I may be saying this also because they're not in Atlanta, but they're filming back in downtown Atlanta right now. So it also takes me, you know, way back to season one, season two. But she's the kind of character that they would have saved. Also, it was so funny to me whenever she shot the gun and they freaked out. Cause at first I was like, oh, why are they freaking out? There are no walkers around, but they did it because it's a reminder of their horses haven't heard guns or ammo or bullets in a long time because they're so low on them or basically out of them. So she's shot and the horses freeze because they don't know that sound anymore. So I thought that was kind of clever of them as a show.
That was actually really clever. April, I know you're in the chat. How are people responding to Princess in the chat? Do they like her? Do they think she's annoying?
So
how do they feel?
JJ says she is annoying, but not enough for me to hate the character yet. Toes Girl says, yes, I'm excited for Princess's interaction with the group. And Bevarious says, I'm pretty sure I would be worse than Princess if I had a year of isolation like that. Same. I'm already basically that, and we're at, what, like 3 weeks?
That's fair. That's very fair. At least Princess has got some hair dye to keep her company.
And a nice pink jacket.
It's a nice, cool jacket. I mean, yeah, she's fashionable. She's edgy. She's eccentric. I'm about her. I'm excited to see where they go with her character. Now, let's talk about going from a high to a low. Let's talk about Beta's character, because Beta's on the warpath, you guys. I mean, he's very smart. He's got this new horde behind him. They're headed to Hilltop. Then they're headed to Oceanside. What I didn't expect was to see Alden and Aaron literally right behind them. I mean, was anybody else surprised by that? Where did they come from?
There's a few things that I need people to like help me put the pieces together. I even went, you know, back and watched the previous episode because I was like, how did this happen? How did they get there? You know, they're behind them the whole time until it's too late, like until they've turned directions and then their radio isn't working. What? Also, why did a cat walking a certain way make Beta turn around? But more than anything, which this is different, he's back with, you know, all of the Whisperers now. But the question that I have mainly for y'all is why, after last week, did the walkers just like stand and walk with Beta? This was not when he was with the Whisperers. That's what I was like, was this just a show thing, like a trick of the mind, basically? Do y'all know what I'm talking about?
Yes, I don't exactly know what is going on with Beta in his mind. I think that the killing of Alpha was kind of caused like maybe like a psychotic break with him, and now he's hearing, because they never addressed the fact that they listen to the walkers and actually hear words. I thought that they were just talking like metaphorically, like they talk, you know what I mean, or they exist, or something like that. I never actually thought that they heard words. I think that Beta is going down the psychological, like, broken, I'm kind of like, can't handle the stress of what's actually happening, and this is what this is how he's taking it. In terms of him seeing this cat and like going in the right direction, I thought that that was a little bit of lazy writing. I thought that maybe they could have introduced or gotten them on the right track in a different way. Maybe they were following Alden and Aaron, something else besides them listening to walkers, because it's just a little unrealistic.
I'm gonna jump in here, guys, real quick. Can you all hear
special
me?
Guest,
hey guys. So what?
Yeah.
I want to jump on what you're saying, Tim, because you're talking about how it's he's hearing voices or anything like that. The way it works is he definitely had like a mental break, but he's trusting his instincts, but he's hearing his instincts through as if somebody's talking to him, right? So it's not so much the cat; it's that he sees the cat and says like lunch, but then he's like, okay, have faith. He's the sticks, and the sticks are basically being communicated to him and translated through as if Alpha was talking to him, right? And then the thing with like how he was leading the pack at that point and uses it was with his voice, just as he used it in the last episode with him playing the record and kind of bringing up to this scene where his voice is kind of being the thing that guides them together. And front, as they move and as they create that cacophony of sound, all the rest of the walkers are following that. So they're following this massive gathering of whispers, and they don't know why, because it's not like they're finding anything to eat. It's just when there's enough people saying noise, it's a moving sound that the walkers then get behind and follow. Does that make sense?
Answer my question.
Mind
Thank
blown.
Thank you, Stephen, our Mind amazing blown. Engineer. For those of you who are like, who the hell is that? That's Stephen. He's our great engineer who engineers our show and makes us look as good as we do. Thank you, Stephen, for that feedback and those thoughts. Betty, what did you think about the entire situation with Beta?
Like, literally, I'm watching it and I'm just like, wait, can he really hear walkers right now? It was that part where he's walking and then this one walker turns its head and like opens its mouth really wide, and then you hear a voice from Beta's head. I'm just like, wait, are the writers really trying to suggest that this guy can hear walkers? I was really confused on that part, but I really did enjoy it. It was a very breathtaking scene. So it was definitely interesting.
And yeah, I think it's cool to see Beta's kind of Warpath revenge here, and seeing all the like different things from hearing Alpha's voice, from the way he's tracking and gathering his walker troops or whatever. I think the only thing I was really confused on is when they infiltrated Alexandria, we don't get to see everybody vacate Alexandria. We don't get to see that. We just see them at the next post, which that kind of threw me off a little bit, but then you eventually get caught up and see where everybody's at. But I think it would have been better for me to see what time of day they all fled, because they knew the attack was coming.
Well, they never fully infiltrated Alexandria, because the voice in his head, which even though it doesn't obviously sound like Alpha, it is Alpha's voice translated through this mental break that he's had. So, you know, he thinks that Alpha is, you know, sending him these signs, but also literally hearing these voices. We know it's not, but whatever. I didn't think that the writers were trying to make us think they were. I think like he was clearly just, you know, off the wagon. But they never fully infiltrated Alexandria. That's why they kept going. I think they were going to go to Oceanside at that point. But that's when he saw the cat, and they had already been, I think, past the hospital or past the tower or whatever. So something about that made him, you know, like Stephen was saying, his instinct, his gut, whatever, made him turn around and be like, okay, never mind, let's go back this way. And obviously his instincts are spot on, because that is where they are.
Well, he definitely catches on to where our group is, which is in the tower, what the episode was called, or as we come to know it, as a hospital. And that's pretty much where he's bringing this horde. He is mad. He is really pissed off at what has happened to his Alpha. So now he wants his revenge. Obviously, we know that the next episode doesn't really have an air date yet because of COVID-19 or coronavirus. The editors didn't have enough time to edit the finale episode, so they are pushing it back so that they can finish it till after this whole, you know, epidemic is over. So I mean, we're just gonna have to sit in this limbo state to see what's gonna happen with our characters. I know, April, I know. Until they announce the air date, we don't know when that's gonna be. They've already pushed off the other spinoff show, World Beyond, to a later date. We don't know at this point if Fear of the Walking Dead is going to air, when it's supposed to air. We don't know anything at this point. So as soon as we know, you guys will know. That's going to be our review of season 10, episode 15. I want to get into some special segments really quickly. So the first special segment that I want to get into is our dead weight of the episode, essentially who we thought did the least in the episode. April, who did you think did the least, or who do you think was our dead weight of this episode?
You know, everyone did so much this episode. So I would have to say like a random character that we didn't really, you know, see do anything. let's say Lydia's dead weight of the episode, because she didn't really do anything. Everyone kind of just did it. So I'll say Lydia.
Oh, that's hard, man. I'm gonna give it to the walker, not the walker. The whisperer that Daryl killed. I'll give her the dead weight because she didn't do anything and she was awful about the whole situation. She didn't feel bad about anything. She didn't show any remorse. So, yeah, I give her the dead weight.
All right. I'm gonna catch some heat for this, but hear me out. So the dead weight for me, and it's like, I know the person wasn't in the episode, but they kind of were. For me, it's Michonne. She didn't answer the walkie-talkie back to Daryl, and you just left and got people taking care of your kids, didn't give them no heads up or nothing like that. Michonne, you're the dead weight for the penultimate episode.
I am right there with you on that.
That is fair. That is fair. I think I'm going to get a lot of hate for what I'm going to say is the deadweight episode. And I think it was Negan. I mean, as much as Negan has done, his interactions with Lydia, I think were a little unfair. I feel like he could have just given her some space. I feel like him wanted to end exactly what she said. Everything that he does is for a selfish reason. And exactly his thoughts in this episode and reaching out to her were exactly the same way. As much as he does, I think, care for her, I think there was a little bit of selfishness behind that. And just give the girl some space. She just needs some space. She's dealing with a lot. So I'm
of course he's being selfish. Of course he's being selfish. He's been locked up in a cage for however many years. He deserves a little selfishness.
Seven. Okay, guys in the chat, let us know who your dead weight of the episode was. Let's move on to our favorite kill of the episode. Benny, I'm going to shoot it over to you first. Who do you think was your favorite kill of the episode?
My favorite kill was when the zombie was walking over the mine and just went kaboom. That was my favorite kill.
That was a good one.
My favorite was definitely the whisperer that Daryl killed, because I'm going to devil's advocate Benny. She did kind of give them some information. She didn't. She said Beta didn't really know where they were going. You know, she basically said they didn't know anything at all. I also liked how he kind of didn't sacrifice her, because he shouldn't have. She needed to be killed. So that's mine.
And my favorite kill that came out the gates early in this episode is Princess. Princess with the heavy artillery. I can't remember the last time we've seen a gun with that type of power, and the way it almost just melted all the walkers behind them. Lost some horses as a result, but I mean, it was a pretty cool looking kill to me.
That's fair. I think I'm going to agree with April on this one, you guys. I think that the Whisperer was my favorite kill. As much as I love seeing Whisperers die because they've caused so much havoc to our group of people, I do agree that, you know, this is just one person or one group of people that, even if it's just one person, you can't let them live no matter what, because they will come back and bite you in the butt. So those are our special segments, you guys. I want to go to some news and gossip.
AfterBuzz TV News.
Benny, give us some news and gossip, man.
Yeah, so pretty much next, the season finale, whenever that will air, we will for sure see Maggie make a return. And if you guys weren't able to see it, they actually show a preview of her return. So it's 100% confirmed. All you have to do is go to YouTube, type in Walking Dead, and it will come up. But it's a really, really cool scene. I don't want to give away too many spoilers, so if you want to watch it, go ahead and watch it, but it will definitely give you some old school vibes seeing a familiar face return. So can't wait for the season finale, because it's gonna be a good one.
No, thank you for that, Benny. I'm very excited to see Maggie come back. She's definitely one of our favorite characters. And the way that they wrote her off was complete BS, so I'm glad that she's back. April, let the fans know where they can find you.
Y'all can find me everywhere at April Wissenhant and on the How to Get Away with Murder panel on Thursdays.
And you guys can find me on all social media at Benny J. Adams.
And you can find me on Twitter at Said Says and on Instagram at Said Is The Answer.
And I'm Timothy Michael. You guys can find me everywhere at I Am Timothy Mike. Like we said, guys, we don't know when the finale will air. We don't know what's happening with the other spinoff shows, World Beyond, and including Fear of the Walking Dead. But as soon as we know, you guys will know. Thank you so much for joining us for this season and this full finale. For right now, we will see you guys. Please be safe. Stay home. Wash your hands. We will see you guys next time, whenever that will be.
Our founder, Kevin Undergaro, and me, Maria Menounos, would like to thank you for tuning in to AfterBuzz TV. Remember, we're not just the first, we're the biggest in the world, and we're the only destination for all your favorite TV shows. Whatever you crave, we've got it. So go to AfterBuzzTV.com and check out our lineup. Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.